Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Lord, he's my worship, all of my shine. Receive it, receive it.
Receive my worship. All of my worship.
Oh, yes, Lord. We worship you. We bless you. We thank you, Lord. You're the only one who deserves our worship. You deserve the glory we bring to you. And we are always excited when we have an opportunity to worship you and to bless your name. Thank you, Father, for this evening. We commit the service into your hands. In Jesus' mighty name. And let the people of God say, amen. I think you can clap your hands and bless the name of Jesus. If it's not asking too much of you, give it to him. Your clapping is part of your worship. Let him receive it. Let him receive it. Let him receive it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you, and you may be seated. It's good to see all of you. Thank you very much for being in church and joining in the times of impartation. And tonight, I really need the help of God to finish my teaching on tithing and giving, understanding it biblically. This, I believe, is the fourth part. And there's so much left to talk about, but I want to see whether I can cram it all into 1 hour of preaching. So we've been looking at that subject for the past 3 weeks. This is the fourth week. And it's an important subject because there's a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of confusion, a lot of controversy surrounding this issue of tithing, first fruits, and giving. And I believe that God wants us to have knowledge and understanding about the subject. Because when you don't have knowledge about certain things, you can end up in bondage, you can end up being abused, or you can become careless, you know, and things that you're supposed to take seriously and be committed to, you may find yourself not doing that. So it's important that we get a good biblical understanding and grasp of this very important subject. And we have looked at different things. We've looked at the origin of tithing, where it all began, or when it actually began. We've looked at the different types of tithes in the Bible. And I explained to you that apart from the tithes, which were like mandatory requirements, you know, where the people of Israel, God's people, were supposed to present those tithes, you'd also see that there were other things that they gave. They gave of their substance, they gave their gold, they gave silver, they gave blue thread, linen, what have you. They even had to pay temple taxes. And then they were also encouraged to give voluntary offerings and free will offerings. So you can see that giving was an integral part of that covenant arrangement that God had with his people. So let's not limit giving only to the subject of tithing. Understand that if you're reading your Bible properly and interpreting it correctly, you discover that in so many instances, the people were supposed to give. We've looked at the principle behind the tithing. And then we've also looked at the purpose behind the tithing. So because of time constraints, I cannot get into all of that. But the last thing we started looking at was tithing and giving in the context of the New Testament. Because that is where we find ourselves. We are not part of the Old Testament. We are part of the New Testament. So we want to understand what the New Testament talks about, you know, concerning tithing, even first fruits and giving in the New Testament. All right. Now, we can divide the New Testament into two sections. The first section has to do with the time of Christ and his life here on earth before the cross and before he died. Then the other part of the New Testament is after Christ exited or after the cross. So that's one way you can look at the New Testament. Now, whichever way you look at it, you discover that in the New Testament, all of the New Testament, there is very little direct and explicit teaching on tithing and first fruits. You don't find a lot of detailed teaching on the subject of tithing. Neither do you find detailed teaching on the subject of first fruits. But what you will find is a lot of teaching on giving, on money issues, and on generosity. So if you run through from the Gospels all the way to the last book of the New Testament, the Revelation, you are not going to find direct, explicit teaching on tithing. And in the New Testament, there are only four places where tithing is spoken explicitly about. I think I explained that to you the other time. And as for the issue of first fruits, it talks about it in eight different places. But even it is spoken about symbolically. It is not the first fruits as we understand it under the old covenant. But there are so many scriptures that talk about giving, you know, that talk about, you know, generosity, that talk about humanitarian acts, showing compassion and what have you. The New Testament has a lot of teachings regarding that. So now, let's come to the period of Jesus before the cross. Now, Jesus only commented about tithing. He never taught explicitly about it. Amen. I'll say that again. Jesus only made a few comments about tithing, but nowhere do you find him teaching explicitly about it. So one of the places where he talked about tithing is Matthew 23:23. Let's look at that scripture again. Matthew 23:23. And there is a parallel scripture in Luke where it was basically the same thing he was dealing with. You know, so in Matthew 23:23, Jesus was confronting the Pharisees, the scribes, and the teachers of the law. And he said to them, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees?" So from here, you can see who he was addressing. Who was he addressing? The Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law. He was not speaking to everybody. And he was addressing something that he had seen with them that he was not happy about. And he calls them hypocrites. He says, "For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens." So here he comments about tithing. He's not teaching about it. He's commenting about it. And he says, "But you ignore the more important aspects of the law." And then he continues to list what these important aspects of the law are: justice, mercy, and faith. These are the things that are very important to God. Justice, mercy, and faith. And then he says to them, "You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things." So the King James said, "This you should have done without leaving the other things." So here it says, "These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone." So here, the focus of what Jesus is saying is he's addressing the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. How they are careful to do all kinds of things. And usually the things that they are careful to do are things that they are doing for show. Things that people can see them and commend them for. But he says that the weightier issues of the law, you are not dealing with them. And then he explains to them that there is no problem with you tithing. So when he says you should tithe, yes, what he's saying is that it's not wrong for you to tithe. There's nothing wrong with you tithing. It's not a problem with you tithing. But he's stressing that there are more important things in the law. This is not an explicit, intensive teaching on tithing. No, it is just a comment that he made about it. Hallelujah. And then there are a couple of other places also where he made a comment about tithing. All right. But when we come to the issue of giving, in the Gospels alone, you find, depending on how you count it, an average of 40 different passages that talk about giving, generosity, helping the poor, stewardship, money, possessions, greed, and wealth, and so on and so forth. There are 40 different places where Jesus taught about these things. But you cannot find any passage of scripture where Jesus taught extensively about tithing. It is worth noting this. Hallelujah. So, for example, in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, let's look at it from the New King James Version. He teaches about giving, and he teaches, you know, about generosity. So he says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, some Bible theologians insist that this verse is not talking about giving in the real sense of the word giving. It's about something else. But I don't want us to argue about that. But look at Matthew 19:21, where he talks about generosity and helping the poor. You remember when that rich young ruler came to see Jesus and said, good master, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? Now, Jesus told him what he had to do. Jesus told him, New King James Version, please. If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. So here he's talking about generosity. Go and sell everything that you have, and whatever you get, come and bless poor people with it. And he's talking about helping the poor. So here the focus is on generosity. The focus is on placing heaven first. The focus is about doing humanitarian acts and helping the poor. I can also point you to the parable of the talents. He was talking about money. Is that not so? And in that same passage, he was also talking about stewardship and responsible use of what God has given to you. You know? And in other places, you know, he talks about money. He said, no one can serve two masters. He will either love one or hate the other. Then he says that you cannot serve both God and Mammon. And Mammon has to do with money. In other places, he talks about possessions. He says, beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things which he possesses. Hallelujah. And that statement he made to a certain gentleman who came to see him, that his father has left an inheritance and his brothers don't want to give him what he feels is due. But Jesus diagnosed the guy's problem and saw that the guy was greedy. That's why he said, beware of covetousness. So over there, he addresses covetousness, and then he also addresses possessions and points out that the quality of your life is not really dependent on how much you have. There are higher things and there are greater things. So I can go on and on and on. But the essential point that I'm making to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that in many places in the Gospels, during the time of Jesus, during his own teachings, he taught about giving, about wealth, about greed, about generosity, about stewardship, and things like that. But when it comes to the issue of tithing and first fruits, he did not teach explicitly about that. He commented about that, but he did not teach on that subject. Is that easy to understand? And actually, there are other places. It appears that there were other places, and other instances when Jesus talked about giving, but we don't have it recorded in the Bible that we have. Look with me at Acts 20:35. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. So Paul had gathered the elders of the church in Ephesus, and he was going to travel, and he knew he was not going to see them again. And so he met with them and shared a lot of important things with them. You know, so here he says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. Then he says something interesting. He says, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He says that Jesus said, it is more blessed or blessed to give than to receive. We don't know where Jesus said that. So it is possible that there are things that Jesus said that were not captured in any of the Gospels as we have them. But perhaps they were passed on and transmitted orally. Do you see? So what that suggests to us is that there are probably other places where Jesus talked about giving. And maybe he talked about tithing, but it was not captured in the Gospels. Hallelujah. So now that has addressed the issue of tithing, first fruits, and giving before the cross or during the time of Jesus. Now we want to move on from there and look at after the cross or after Jesus was caught up into heaven. What did the early church talk about in relation to tithing and first fruits and giving? After the cross, the only place where tithing is spoken explicitly about is in Hebrews, and particularly Hebrews chapter 7. Now, the intention of the author of the book of Hebrews was to show that the priesthood of Christ was superior to the Levitical priesthood as the people, as the Jews knew it. That's the whole purpose, because what was happening was that the Jewish Christians in that time, some of them were considering going back to Judaism, to the old cultures that they had. So the author of Hebrews was trying to let them understand that you'll be making a mistake, because what you have with Christ under the New Testament is far superior and greater. That's why he makes a statement, for example, like the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel symbolizes or typifies the old covenant or the law. But then he's trying in his teaching to get the people to understand that you cannot compare Judaism with the new arrangement that has been established in Christ Jesus. So here in Hebrews chapter 7, he talks about tithing, making reference to Abraham giving tithe to Melchizedek, saying that Melchizedek was a type of Christ and all of those other things. That is the only place where explicitly tithing is spoken about in the New Testament. Amen. But we can find, you know, a place or two where you can, you know, conclude that they were actually referring to tithing there. I'll show you one clear example. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13 to 14. And I want to remind you again that I'm teaching you this subject so that you will have knowledge and Bible-based understanding about tithing and about giving. That's the whole purpose of this teaching. Because a lot of us as Christians, we do things as a custom, as a tradition. We've been taught to do those things, but we do not really understand why we need to do them. And that's why I'm teaching on that. So if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 13, Paul is preaching or ministering and he says, do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Verse 14, even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. In verse 13, it is not difficult to conclude that Paul was referring to the tithing and the offering system that existed under the law and under the old arrangement. And according to that arrangement, the tithes and the offerings that the people brought, one of the major purposes of it was to take care of the priests and the Levites. So if Paul is making reference to, you know, those who minister at the altar, who serve at the altar, partaking of the offerings of the altar, you can safely conclude that he's referring to tithing as part of the offerings there. How many can understand what I'm saying? Yeah, so you can conclude that. So you see scriptures like that, that make inference or refer to tithing. But you will not find anywhere in the New Testament where tithing is taught explicitly on. This, I believe, may disturb quite a number of people, but I have not finished because we are building up to somewhere. So, if the New Testament doesn't talk about tithing explicitly, doesn't talk about first fruits explicitly, what does the New Testament dwell on? And ladies and gentlemen, I can summarize it for you and say that the New Testament actually focuses on something higher where giving is concerned. It focuses on what we can call grace-based giving. Everybody say with me, grace-based giving. Say it one more time, grace-based giving. For the very last time, grace-based giving. That is what you see emphasized and focused on in the New Testament. Grace-based giving. What is that? Grace-based giving is giving willingly and joyfully in response to God's grace. I'll say it again. Grace-based giving is giving willfully and joyfully in response to God's grace. Hallelujah. Grace-based giving therefore refers to giving that is motivated by God's grace, by love, by gratitude, by willingness of heart. Grace-based giving refers to giving that is motivated. What is behind the giving is God's grace, your love for God, gratitude, and willingness of heart. That is what characterizes grace-based giving. And it is more of that rather than legal obligation or fear or compulsion or religious duty. So when you put it together, grace-based giving refers to giving that is motivated by God's grace, love, gratitude, and willingness of heart, rather than by legal obligation. It's like you are obliged to do it legally, or by compulsion, or by fear, or by mere religious duty. And ladies and gentlemen, if you run through the New Testament on the subject of giving, the focus and the emphasis is on grace-based giving. Everybody say grace-based giving again. All right. So let's look at where a few scriptures that talk about grace-based giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 10. From the New Living Translation, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 10. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. What is Paul talking about? Let's continue to verse 7. You can see that that statement that he made was in relation to giving. To giving. So he says and continues, and the verses that follow prove this. He says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. It continues, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. And then verse 10, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Hallelujah. So here we see a concept of grace-based giving. So you will notice words like generously. He who plants generously. So giving generously is part of grace-based giving. Then he says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. You must do it willingly. And says, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. It's not compulsory giving. It is not mandatory giving. But it is given freely. Then it says, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. That's another aspect of a grace-based giving. Cheerfully giving. So you can see that with grace-based giving, you need to give generously. You need to give willingly. You must give cheerfully. And you must not give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Hallelujah. And I dare say that another thing that you can add to describe grace-based giving is sacrificially, which you can connect to generously. Because often, if you're giving generously, you will find yourself giving sacrificially. Hallelujah. So that makes us see what grace-based giving is. And that is what is emphasized in the New Testament. Grace-based giving. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 to 2. Now, regarding your question about the money being collected for God's people in Jerusalem, you should follow the same procedure I gave to the churches in Galatia. Verse 2. On the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. So Paul is trying to collect some offerings and some gifts for the church, for the people in Jerusalem. So that is giving. And then he's encouraging them that there must be a certain planning towards it. So he said, put aside a portion of the money you have earned. So think about it. Decide on what portion you want to give so that when I come, you can give it to. So you can see a lot of planning, a lot of thinking going into giving. All of that is connected to grace-based giving. And you can see that people are urged to give willingly and also in proportion to what God has given to them. Because the truth is that we have not all been blessed to the same degree and to the same extent. So those who have more, it is expected that they will give more. But everybody must give willingly and in proportion to what God has blessed you with. Look at another scripture that talks about this concept of grace-based giving. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 34. Acts 4, 32 to 34. This is about the early church. It says, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. So they shared everything that they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. Verse 34. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them. And what they did was that whatever they had, when they sell it, they will bring it and place them at the apostles' feet. And then the money will be distributed according to the needs of the people. You can see the concept of grace-based giving here. You can see sacrificial giving. You can see generous giving. You can sense that nobody was forced to do anything. You can also suggest that they did it cheerfully. This is the reason why Ananias and Sapphira, who are spoken about in the next chapter, they got into trouble. Because they went to sell their property, and the rest of the people, everything that they got, they brought it. But these guys withheld part of what they got, and then came to give an impression that they had brought everything. They made a mistake, and probably if they had answered truthfully when Peter asked them that, is that all you got? If they had answered truthfully, they would have lived long. The reason why they died was because they lied. And God was trying to make a point about why there's no need to impress anybody. So Paul explained to them that you are lying. And why? There's no need to lie about it. The thing is for you. Nobody has forced you to do it. So if you don't want to give, don't give. But don't come and pretend that you are giving and you are happy about it. So that is why Ananias and Sapphira died and came under judgment. But you can see that in the early church, there was a lot of grace-based giving. Amen. And there was a lot of sacrificial generosity. So after saying all of this, just to recap, then I can proceed and bring us towards the end. I've explained that when it comes to the New Testament, we can look at it from two phases. Before the cross, which describes the period when Jesus was alive and walked the earth. And then after the cross, that describes the period after he had exited. If you look at before the cross, you find out that there isn't any explicit teaching on tithing. But there's a lot of teaching by Jesus on giving, on generosity, and things like that. When you look at after the cross, after Jesus exited, there too, you're not going to find a lot of explicit teachings. In fact, there is none. There's no place where there's explicit teaching on tithing. But what you find is a lot of emphasis on giving. And the giving there is grace-based giving. That is what I have just explained to you. So now it raises this question. And I told you that I was going to attempt to answer the question today. So should Christians tithe? All the plenty talking is bringing us to this point. Should Christians tithe? Now, when you ask a question like that, what you are actually asking is the Old Testament law of giving 10% still binding on Christians today? That's what you are asking. Is that not so? You are also asking, does God require every Christian to give exactly one tenth of their income to the church? When you ask, so should Christians tithe? You are asking, is tithing a spiritual obligation under the new covenant? That's what you are asking. And then when you ask, should Christians tithe? You are asking, can a Christian be disobedient to God for not tithing? So that's what we want to answer. Should Christians tithe? The answer to that question is this. Tithing is not a legal requirement for Christians and for the New Testament believer. It is not a legal requirement. Under the law, it was a legal requirement. But under this dispensation of grace, it is not a legal requirement. So the answer to all the questions that I have asked in relation to should Christians tithe, the answer is that Christians are not under a legal requirement or obligation to tithe. They are not. And any attempt to present it as such is disingenuous and is not honest. Because the truth is that there is no legal requirement anywhere under the new covenant where Christians are required to tithe. But that raises another question. Can Christians tithe? And the answer is yes. Christians can tithe. And I'll even say that it's a good idea for Christians to tithe. And Christians can decide to give at least 10% of their earnings, not as a legal requirement, but as a useful spiritual discipline. That's it. You are not doing it. A Christian does not tithe just because it's a legal requirement, because there's no such legal requirement. But I strongly recommend that a Christian can tithe. Give at least 10% of what God has blessed you with. And you can do it as a useful spiritual discipline. You see, Christians can choose to tithe voluntarily. And I encourage it. And the reason why this is helpful is this. You see, God has given us a mind. And he wants us to use the mind to reason and to analyze things logically. Now, ask yourself. I have talked about grace-based giving. And one of the things I mentioned is that you must give generously. So now, if somebody comes to you and says, what is generous? How much is generous enough? What would you say? It's a difficult question to ask. To answer. But you see, you can be guided by what God instituted under the law. Because under the law, you could see that a certain percentage was mentioned. 10% was mentioned. And I explained to you that the tithes that the people gave under the law, it was not just one 10%. There was a second one. There was a third one. There were taxes. There were voluntary givings. There were voluntary offerings. So it was more than that. So if you are a child of God and you're asking yourself, Charlie, how much is generous? You can use at least 10% as a benchmark and a baseline for generous and consistent giving. That is the only logical reason why we will encourage people to give at least a tenth of what God has blessed them with. Because under the Old Testament, that was what was given. A figure was mentioned, tenth. So you can tell yourself that if that was what was mentioned, then at least of all that God has given to me, I will present at least a tenth of it back to him as a way of honoring him. Not because anybody is forcing me. Not because anybody is threatening me. But it is willingly, it is voluntarily, and I'm doing it out of my love for God and my appreciation for him and my recognition that everything that I have, he gave it to me. That if I am blessed, it is God who has blessed me. So then at least 10% becomes a benchmark, or it becomes a baseline that can guide you to give generously, and that can guide you to give consistently. And I said that it's a spiritual discipline, because you can commit yourself to it and discipline yourself that out of everything that God gives to me, at least a tenth of it will go into supporting the things of God, supporting the people of God, and all of that. And remember that there is, you can do that. Okay, so what I really want to say is that remember that there are all kinds of giving that we must practice. Helping the poor, helping to support the church, helping to take care of the pastors, the full-time pastors, and what have you. So as for the giving, we are supposed to do it at all kinds of level. But I'm explaining to you that if you want to have something to guide you about what you should give, if you're giving good enough and giving generously, I say that from a logical point of view, you can be guided by what was instituted under the law, which was at least 10%. Hallelujah. So then it becomes a structured way to honor God, and there's nothing wrong with it. So the summary of all that I am saying is that do not give at least 10% of what you have out of fear, because you think it's a legal requirement. I'm explaining to you that there is no such legal requirement under the New Testament. There isn't. But I'm encouraging you that give it as part of your grace-based giving. And you can use the at least 10% as a spiritual act of discipline, where you can tell yourself that if I'm giving generously, then as much as possible, I should aim for at least 10% of what God has blessed me with. And then you commit yourself to that and do it consistently. You do it generously, and I believe that God will bless you for it. Hallelujah. So have I answered the question for you? All right. Let's look at the errors and the excesses that we have in the modern church today to do with tithing. So there are a lot of errors and excesses, and I need to address them for you. Okay, so I have a feeling, I think that really, with everything that I've said, it should have answered every question that you have. All right, but I'll give you an opportunity to ask a question or two. So these are some of the errors. Errors number one: if you don't tithe, you are cursed. If you don't tithe, you are cursed. And my response to that is, it is not correct. Galatians 3:13. What does it say there? New Living Translation. Galatians 3:13. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. Under the law, there were certain curses. And there were curses associated with not tithing. Because in Malachi, God told the people, you are cursed with a curse, because you have robbed me of the tithes and the offerings. But here it says that Jesus has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law, which includes any curse associated with tithing. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Now, you cannot be cursed for practicing a law that you are no longer under. It's as simple as that. The curse that was associated with tithing was under the law. You are not under the law. The Bible says that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Christ Jesus. So if you are not under the law, then it means that any curse associated with the law cannot come upon you. If anybody tells you that if you don't tithe, you are cursed, I'm saying that the person is wrong. Amen. Number two, the second error is giving out of fear or pressure. Never give out of fear. Never give out of pressure. Never allow yourself to be manipulated by anybody, no matter who he or she is, to give. So sometimes you hear statements like, God cannot bless you if you don't tithe. You think that the blessings of God come upon you because of tithing? No. No. God blesses us with or without our tithing. So when you hear statements that your breakthrough is in your tithe, God cannot bless you if you don't tithe, and comments like that, there are emotional pressures. People make statements like that to put you under pressure and stress so that you can give. And there's a problem with that. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:7. We read it earlier on. 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says, 2 Corinthians 9:7, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. Then look at the next thing. Can you read it with me? Ready, go. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Don't allow your giving to be influenced by pressure from anybody. It is manipulative. And you must not give into it. So you must not give out of manipulation, out of fear. You must give willingly and give cheerfully and give generously. The third error is where we tend to make giving transactional. Making giving transactional is like when you give, it's like a transaction. What I mean is that it's like you should give so that you can get this, so that you can get that. That is transactional giving. And then when giving is used as a formula for miracles and for breakthroughs. So then it's like, give this amount of money and you receive this breakthrough. Give this amount of money and you receive a miracle. I do not think that it is biblically sound. Because when you do that, you are making God a vending machine. And he's not a vending machine. He does not relate with us like that. He does not. So, you see in the Bible an example of somebody trying to use giving as a transaction to collect something. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 18 to 20. Acts 8, 18 to 20. There's a guy called Simon who was a sorcerer. The Bible says, when Simon saw that the Spirit, that was the Holy Spirit, was given when the apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. Transaction. I will give you so much money if you will give me the power that you have, that me too, when I lay hands on people, the Holy Spirit will come upon them. So he said, let me have this power too, he exclaimed, so that when I lay my hands on people, they will receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter replied, may your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. Ladies and gentlemen, the gifts of God are given freely to us. God's grace, salvation is a gift. That's why I say that. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And many things that we get from God, his blessings, his provisions, are gifts. Of course, there are conditions that God expects us to satisfy and fulfill. But the truth of the matter is that he's not doing things for us because of a transaction or whatever. That's why the songwriter says, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And those blessings, they flow freely. Jesus himself described the Father and he said that we should be like him. He causes the sun to shine on both the good and the evil. And he causes the rain to fall on both the good and the evil. If you were God, would you cause the sun to shine on the people you don't like? if you were God, will you cause the rain to fall on the grounds of people you don't like? Certainly not. So God, he blesses us. And he blesses us because he's good. And his mercies endure forever. It is an error to relate giving to a transaction and feel that it because you gave this much and you gave that much, that is why God is giving you that blessing and that breakthrough. Because then it poses a question. If I don't have that kind of money, what does it mean for me? Which is why as pastors, we have to be careful. When in church services and all of that, we call for a certain amount of money and then say that when you give that amount of money, this blessing will come upon you. Your business will flourish. You will have this, you will have that. Once you say that, what you are telling the rest of the people who don't have that kind of money is that because you don't have that amount of money to give, does that sound right to you? And does that sound like the God that we serve? We have to be very, very careful. It is true that when you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. When you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. There's a principle like that at work. But that should not be translated into transactional giving, where it's like, give this so that you can have this, so that you can have. When you do that, you are twisting and manipulating the scriptures to say what they are really not saying. Then the last error is the error where people now fail to give and to practice generosity. That's another error. Now people don't give at all. Or when they give, they don't give generously. And sometimes people get to that point when they hear of a lot of the excesses that have taken place and a lot of the manipulation and the exploitation. So now they decide that me makra, I won't give offering. I won't give any tithe again. Because they are all thieves. They are all liars. That is another error. And we need to watch out against it. So we must not, and we must not use grace as an excuse not to give. And say that because we are under grace, we are not supposed to give. No way. There's so much to learn from God himself. The Bible says that for God so loved the world, that what did he do? He gave. And what did he give? His only begotten son. That was generous giving. That was sacrificial giving. And he calls on us to do the same thing. So do not look at excesses that have occurred somewhere. Do not even look at the way people wrongly use church monies and offerings and decide that because of that, I'm not giving anymore. Look, God has a way of dealing and judging all such people. But understand that what you give, if you are giving at least 10% of what you have, understand that you are giving it to honor God. Of course, you must be interested in the responsible use of what you give. But understand that you may want the money to be used for this, but the leadership of the church may want to use it for something else. They are the leaders of the church. Allow them to do what they believe. But as for you, know that you have fulfilled a certain covenant or relationship that you have with God, that you are supporting his house, you are supporting his kingdom, you are supporting needy people. So when you give, give with a free mind. And give generously, unless there is clear evidence that the money is being used wrongly. If that happens, you can talk to the leadership about it. If you are not convinced about it and it is having an effect on you, then I'll suggest to you that relocate. Find another church where you trust the leadership to do the right thing with the funds that you've given to them. But understand that the use of the resources of the church may not be the money may not be used the way you want it to be used. But if it is used for other things that are connected to the kingdom of God, build it. Because, for example, you may feel that what we give as tithe, everything should be used to take care of the needy. But maybe the emphasis of the church at the time is to finish the church building project. If you had your own way, the money should take care of the needy. But the leadership of the church believed that once they finish the church building project, it will put the church in a better position to do well and to be able to bless more people in the community. It's the decision of the leadership, and you must trust it. But when it is like the money is being used wrongly and you can see it, you have to be sure about it. If you talk to the leadership and nothing is changing, then my advice is that you should find somewhere else to go. So the final thing, how should the believer handle tithing moving forward? Number one, give it as an act of worship. When you are presenting at least 10% of what God has given to you, give it as an act of worship, not as a duty. Number two, give consistently, give intentionally, and give sacrificially. Somebody say consistently. Say intentionally, and then say sacrificially. So with regards to giving at least 10% of what you have, what God blesses you with, make sure that you give consistently, you give intentionally, and you give sacrificially. Number three, give cheerfully, not under pressure. Give cheerfully, not under pressure. Number four, support the work of God. Support your local church, the church that God has planted you in. And your first responsibility, ladies and gentlemen, is towards your local church. Because that's where God has planted you. Alright? So don't deny the local church of what you can give to help support what goes on in the local church, because you've decided to take it somewhere else. If you want to give extra, don't make sure that you do not deny your local church of the resources to be able to carry out the work that it has to do. If you want to give elsewhere, it means you should give extra. But don't take what should come to the local church and start distributing it all over the place. That's wrong. So support the work of God, support ministry work, support the needy. That's what you must do. Then number five, let grace lead you higher than the law. Let grace lead you higher than the law. Because under the law, they gave 10%. Under grace, you should think of giving more. When God was giving to us, he gave 100%. And he did that to set an example for us, to guide us when we give. Decide that whenever you are giving, you are going to let grace lead you higher than the law. If the Lord says 10%, decide that I'll do more than 10%, so help me God. So these are a few things that I believe can guide you regarding how to handle tithing moving forward. I believe that by the grace of God, I have touched extensively on this subject. And I trust that if you have followed it through from the beginning to the end and listened to it carefully and with attention and concentration, the issues to do with tithing and giving should have been addressed in your mind. Can I have an amen? We give glory to God. Clap your hands and let's bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for taking us through this extensive teaching on tithing, on giving, and what your word says about it. You want us to know the truth, because the truth is what sets us free. And Father, I pray that what you've guided me to share with your people will stay with them and influence them in their giving moving forward. May we all get to the place where, out of our love for you, out of the honor and the reverence that we have for you, we will give generously, we will give sacrificially, we will give willingly, we will give cheerfully, to support everything to do with your kingdom. And Father, I thank you that you are a faithful God. You are the one who gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. I pray, Father, that as your people honor you, continue to do what you do for us and cause us to taste of your goodness in every area of our lives. I bless you, Father, tonight in Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say amen. Give Jesus another hand clap. All right. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.